I want to do something a little bit different tonight. I was talking this morning to Talitha after the service and just getting blessed by her and the wonderful path that God had taken her down to come to the profession of faith that she made this morning. And it was just such a blessing to talk with her. And I made this statement. I said, you know, each service, hope the Lord works it out for you to be able to start coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night, because she had mentioned that, wanting to do that. And I said, each service has a different purpose. I said, you know, Sunday night is a little bit of a family night. And then I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, really, that's not true. We want it to be that way, but it's not exactly true. There's not a whole lot of just free conversation on Sunday night like you would like to have. And so I said, you know, I want to see if we can't fix a little bit of that, have a little bit of a freer service. And so I've been thinking about something here this evening. Y'all forgive me. If this doesn't work, that's all right. I've had other of my plans that didn't work. But I want to just ask a couple of people to kind of tell us a little bit about themselves here. Lorraine, I'm glad you're back. Did you know it was going to be you? You didn't. All right, now you do. Why don't you just kind of tell these people when you got saved and, you know, just where a lot of people don't even know that you're from North Carolina. Tell us a little bit about yourself when you got saved. Stand up and do that, would you? Oh, wait a minute. Brother Ricky's got something right here. You've always wanted to preach on Sunday night, Lorraine. You have to go home and preach to Derek, but just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, but grew up in Clinton, North Carolina. It was a military town. My father was in the Navy and didn't see me till I was 3 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And was saved at an early age, at age four, getting ready to turn into age five. At the church I grew up in, Emmanuel Baptist Church, was kind of about this size style church. And my mother had taught junior church and children's church all of my life till we moved on to First Baptist Church as a teenager. And I don't know where you want me to go with this.
I don't know either. You know, yeah.
Okay.
A word of counsel from her husband just came in here.
I went to school at North Carolina State, but then I transferred to Mount Olive College. And ended up finding a job here in Commerce, Georgia in 1999. Had never even considered leaving the Tar Heel State, you know. I'm Carolina through and through. When I bleed Carolina blue. And so Roper Pump hired me down here, and I started attending Beach Haven at the time because they had a singles ministry, and I was new to the town, and that was right across from where I was living. And I was really getting back into the Word. I had not left my faith so much as had had some trials with church at some point in time. I don't know if others of you have gone through that. But had that reaffirming with the Lord, and he said, you know, it's not the people you're going to church with, it's me you're going to church to fellowship with.
Mm-hmm.
So forget the people, fellowship with me. And all of a sudden that made sense, so I started attending there. And a friend of Derek's, Daniel Allen, started attending. And lo and behold, at our Thanksgiving parade float we were preparing, up comes Derek Wynn. And I thought he was really cute, but I thought he was too young for me at the time. I thought, man, it's such a shame he's too young. Well, then I found out we're the exact same age, except he never lets me forget I'm 5 days older than him. A whole 5 days. And for 5 days, I am the old lady in the house. And we dated for some time, and once we married, we decided that we wanted to worship with family here in a conservative church at Crooked Creek, so we started attending here again.
Amen.
Which he had never left. I was just kind of a side shoot for him. He had never really left.
Yeah. See, now, here, there's a lesson in this. Don't go to Beach Haven, and you may end up with somebody like Derek, right? Is that, yeah. Okay.
Younger man. If you're looking for a younger man, that's where you go.
Oh,
Did I leave anything
no,
out?
No, you did. You did great.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. Let's see. Who else can I pick on here? Let me see here. Let me pick on somebody that really loves to talk. It's hard to get him to shut up, and I just that he really loves to talk. Brother Danny Seymour, would you tell these folks how you got saved?
Well,
hold that thing right. There you go.
I don't know exactly where to start. I didn't get saved until I was about 30 years old. And I won't go back to my past and things, but and it was after I got married, I got saved.
Were you in church, Brother Dean, when you got saved?
Yes. In fact, it just started. After Carrie and myself got married, I guess it was probably about a year just before Josh was born. And we started going to a church over in Hull. And that's where I got saved. I'd made a profession of faith before, and I'd been in church on and off in my younger years, but never really made a profession of faith, but it wasn't sincere. I found that out, and so we started going to church over there. Josh was probably about 4 months old, I guess, something like that, and it was just at a time there in. Didn't know much about the Bible, but just so happened that as we started going to Sunday school there, the preacher there started in Genesis. We're just giving kind of an overview of the Bible, and that's where it happened for me. So, and I just had a hunger for the Word then. I just wanted to go every Sunday because there were just so many things I'd heard about the Bible I didn't really know. And so he started in Genesis, went all the way through Revelation there for about a year, and you know, completely through. And so that's where it started for me. We started Amen. There, and pretty much been going ever since.
Amen. I didn't warn Danny on purpose because people who do not like to talk in public will worry about it. I mean, they'll just worry and worry and worry. So now it's over with, Danny. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yep.
That's all. You can give that microphone back to Brother Ricky, and it's all good. Well, God bless you, brother. You know, you watch folks that don't have a whole lot to say, and a lot of times they're like Brother Danny. They're 10 miles deep. If you get to know that guy, you'll find out what a tremendous person he is. A blessing. I know that for a fact. Well, let's see here. Let me pick on somebody else here. This is a lesson in how to make everybody in the house nervous, right? Carrie Smallwood, where'd you get saved? Did you know it was going to be you? You don't have to look at me.
Thomas warned me. He said something. He's going to pick Mom.
Thomas, did you know already? Prophet. All right. Well, okay.
I grew up in a Christian home. Pretty much second grade on, I was in Chicago, a suburb of Chicago. My mom, it was one of these situations where I have no memory. I remember getting baptized, but I did not remember actually asking Jesus to save me. And that really plagued me throughout my years. And they put me in a Christian school in ninth grade. And through some just various trials and things in my life, at my sophomore year when I was 16, and we were in the, they separated the youth. We were in our youth service in the fellowship hall. And I just remember I had to know. I had to make sure. I couldn't go by my mom telling me, you know, that written in my Bible. And, you know, I had to know. And I went forward that day, and I can't even remember everything I said, but I know I always go back to that as my conversion. So I went and talked to the
it was a youth pastor's wife. And at that point, you know, it's hard when you go forward, when you're in a youth group and everyone thinks you're saved anyway. So, you know, there is that peer pressure. But I just remember thinking, I've got to know that for sure I'm saved. So I got it settled that day, and it wasn't until after we got married that I actually got rebaptized, because the Lord just pressed on my heart that I needed to get my baptism in the right spot. Mm-hmm. And get that baptism after my conversion, and that was an important pivotal point in my life. But then, you know, after I did get that settled, the Lord just, I grew really by leaps and bounds. I went to the wilds and just was so excited about going to Bob Jones, and I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to be in the ministry in some way, marry pastors. I had that desire. I don't know if it's a calling, but it was a desire of mine. And that's where Steve and I met, is at Bob Jones. And I'm grateful, as I look back, to my upbringing and the opportunities that I had.
Amen. I think that's tremendous, because, you know, a lot of young people react to and rebel against their Christian rearing. But I think there's so many other stories that you don't hear because those loud stories drown them out, you know, of rebellious kids and all. But here's a young person who's reared in church, and God saved her, and she just began to grow. It's just a good story that we need to hear more of, just kind of a neat thing. So you felt like the Lord was calling you from the moment you got saved, you began to grow. And how about that? Okay. Well, amen. That's tremendous. Okay. Everybody's looking away here. Yes, you certainly can. Well, I love it. Go ahead, Brother Jason. You certainly do. Jason can make himself heard without the microphone, but it's for the folks down in the nursery.
This morning, Brother Tom gave the opportunity to stand up and say what you believe. And like my dad, I sat there and I was thinking of every excuse I could not to stand up. I mean, I've witnessed before. I've told people about Christ and how I believe. This is probably for unsafe folks to stand up and say, I believe, and, you know, have a salvation experience. But at the same time, the thought persisted in my head, well, what are you scared of, Jason? Why don't you just go ahead and stand up? You can't lose anything. And there's always the thought, you know, just, I mean, like, there's the thought, am I ashamed of Christ? And I sat back there and I professed I was ashamed of Christ by my silence. So right now I want to tell everybody, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he came here 2,000 years ago, died on the cross for my sins and everybody else in this room, and he rose again. I can speak of him in the present tense because he is alive right now. And despite what the university professors will tell me and all the people who profess to be wise, he is alive and he is Christ Jesus and he is Lord. And this world came into being by God's hand 6,000 years ago. That's one of the fallacies that you're going to run into if you go to a public school or any kind of university. They start at the assumption that there is no God. They start at the assumption they have to plug in the facts to make it work in the ways they think, and they come up with the godless millions and millions of years. But if you start with God's, you know, the assumption that God is true, you know, everything that he said is true, it makes a total sense. So I wanted to stand here and say what I believe.
You preach it, buddy. Amen. It was so funny. We got to I did intend that for someone who had never been saved to stand up. But all the believers were out there, if you'll excuse the expression, sweating bullets, because they just could not stand for no one to stand up and say it's true. And people were going out the door out there and looking at me saying, I believe it's true. Etow. And all that, it was just amazing how believers just couldn't stand when no one stood up for Christ. It was just the neatest thing. Thomas couldn't even get through the service until we said it there. He couldn't let that service be dismissed until somebody said it. Just the greatest, neatest thing there. Well, amen. Well, yeah, let's see.
about 2 years ago, me and my wife visited Trinity over here in Athens. It's about 2 miles below my house, and we'd been visiting a church up in Gwinnett County, and but my water pump was tore up on my car that I had, and I had my dad's truck, but it's got a lot of miles on it, and I didn't want to drive it to Gwinnett County because I thought it might break down or something like that. So I was just wanting to tell somebody that I believe that too this morning, and you know that was 2 years ago. So we went down to Trinity that day. I believe it's the first time I've been in that. Well, I visited there about 4 or 5 years ago, but this is the first time I've been there since then. And I just wanted to tell somebody. I was going to tell it up there in Gwinnett County that morning, but I went down to Trinity, and when Mr. Phillips gave the invitation, I just got up and said that I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me, and He rose again, and I wasn't ashamed of it. And,
yeah, amen.
And I just want to do that here tonight too, you know. So,
amen. Okay. Now, wait a minute. You folks, Steve has been here in our church now for 20-something years that I know of. Is he a loud, outspoken guy? He's not, is he? Here's a man who's normally quiet. That's his standard demeanor. But you saw him. He could not stand. He had to stand, didn't he? And profess Jesus' name. Boy, that's tremendous. Steve, God bless you. Steve, while you're standing there, you know, we were, some time ago, we were up at the Red House. We were eating together there. And you were talking about how God cares for you and how He's shown His love for you and care for you. You and Judy have been through a terrible tragedy over the last several years. And it's just been a difficult thing since the Lord lost your son.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but just tell the folks just a little bit about how the Lord cares for you, Steve.
Well, I just started reading, you know, when my boy died, it's been 4.5 years ago, I just started reading the Bible, and just God just started, I just feel God's Spirit, you know, and just I just knew that He cared for me, you know, and He just cared for me, and how much He does care and love you, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So you're saying the Lord's grace is sufficient even for that?
Yes.
Amen.
So, I mean, that's the only way I could have got through this is from the Lord, you know.
Amen. Folks, y'all pray for Steve. I see God really working in his life. He's growing, and he's a different man than before. It's been a tough road. He's a different man. He's a blessed man, and has just really taken the spiritual leadership in his home, and it's tremendous. You saw it. You saw what just happened. That's tremendous, Steve. God bless you, buddy. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, this has taken a unique turn. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say? I'm not desperate. I've got a sermon. Don't you worry about that now. Yes, Teresa. Right over here, Brother Rick.
I just wanted to point out something that you said this morning. When I got saved, I wasn't, my parents got out of church, and I really didn't know how things were done in church. And I went to church with my grandparents, and during that service, I didn't go forward. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be doing, but I sat there, and the Lord and I did business. Mm-hmm. And I did get saved that day. But I have always regretted not knowing going forward that day and saying it public.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did get back home, the Lord, I did join the church, and I did, you know, made it public that I believed and was baptized. But, you know, I know you can get saved anywhere,
yeah,
and in your seat and anywhere, but if you do it public with your mouth, Satan does not have a stronghold to give you doubts in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
I just wanted to say that it's you know, you're saved on, like you said, in the heart, but it's still with the mouth, and with both of those, Satan cannot bind you and doubt if you do it publicly.
Ooh,
so
that was a nugget. Amen. That was a nugget right there. That's exactly right. Anytime we resist the Lord and don't do what He wants us to do, it's like we're open up a little area of our life for Satan to come in and annoy us and tempt us and plant thoughts in our minds. The only words we ought to ever use toward God are yes. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, whatever you lead me to do. Yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. Teresa, thank you very much. You're exactly right. I hope I came across as I intended this morning as far as the public confession of faith. A person is saved in his heart. And I don't mean necessarily that a person has to, at that moment, publicly confess Christ. It's just that when the Spirit comes in, that person is no longer ashamed. They may be a little embarrassed. They may be a little shy type person. It may take a little bit of the Spirit's movement to get to the point where they'll make that public profession, but they cannot remain silent. They just cannot if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. But I didn't mean that someone who, like Teresa, got saved in their seat or wherever. They believe, but they will confess. A truly saved person will confess Christ. Okay. Anything else? It's good. Just kind of a little family conversation here, right? Exhorting one another daily. As the auctioneer says, going. Yes, Lindsay. I was almost gone.
I just wanted to say that before this Sunday, I was afraid to tell the Word of God and say that I was a Christian. And now I'm not afraid to say anything. I'll scream it out loud if I have to.
Well, people are screaming about a whole lot of other stuff, Lindsay. You just help yourself. Yeah. Okay.